Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hi there, Herman and Corin. Very much enjoying listening to your episodes about the property market and the evolutionary need for owning, or maybe not, as Herman Poppleberry wisely put it, is it really the need for a property deed or is it the need for stability? Let's talk about another human need, and that's the need for sleep. We've talked in previous episodes about one of my all-time long-standing random questions, which is, before we invented all these modern ways to make night a form of day, artificial lighting and the rest of it, did people just like go to sleep at, the winter 6 or 7 p.m.? But I don't want to talk about that today because we covered that ground in a previous episode. What I would like to talk about is if one wanted to radically buy into this idea. I've mentioned before that we have our 6-month-old son, and I think we're moving in the right direction. I'm becoming gradually less of a night owl, and my 1 a.m. bedtime has shifted towards 11, which to me a year ago would have been unthinkable. And there are even some nights I'm asleep by 10 because, you know, when we were being woke in the middle of the night and you're on early morning duty, you're just exhausted by the end of the day. I mentioned as well, I think in that episode, that I was into the idea of blue light filtering as someone who is terrible about using computers at nighttime. I really like the idea. When I bought this goofy pair of blue light glasses from Amazon, it was almost love at first wear. It was I felt like it was much easier to get to sleep when I had them on. And it was maybe just because it was a signal, or maybe just it was, you know, the routine of it. Anyway, what I'd love to talk about today's episode is if we really want to go all in on this concept of circadian living, that we want to try to, not really try to, but just maybe allow our daily calendar schedule to be not dictated, but in alignment with the natural rhythm set by the time of sundown and the time of sunrise. And we didn't care if people thought it was really weird that we went to bed at like 8 p.m. or whatever the case may be. What would you recommend that one do? I'm not suggesting for a second, nor would I ever volunteer myself for the wacky experiment in which we try to recreate a life without electricity and bought a bunch of candles like we were on the cast of a medieval recreation. But I'm thinking about less extreme ways that we can maybe set up our homes. And speaking of setting up our homes, as you both know, living here, I'm using Home Assistant for home automation. That I've noticed there are actually a couple of projects along the lines of circadian adaptive lighting, which actually aim to kind of do this. I haven't yet had a chance to try them out, but I know their idea is to kind of calculate, which is very easy to do. This is where the house is. This is what time sundown is, and based on that data, do things like say, we're going to turn the lights off in the living areas or turn them down low at a certain time to encourage people to get into that rhythm. And I think it's a really amazing idea, and I'd love to actually take it seriously and do it. But right now, as I mentioned, I'm more of a 11 p.m. Or 1 a.m. bedtime person. But I want to pick up the pace and adapt the circadian lifestyle, maybe even get a proper pair of clunky blue light glasses and be that weird person who's in bed at 7. And they say he really changed. He went circadian. That's my goal for 2026. So Herman and Corin, how do I get there for the circadian lifestyle?
Hey everyone, welcome back to My Weird Prompts. I am Korn, and I am sitting here in our living room in Jerusalem with my brother. It is January 12th, 2026, and it is a bit chilly outside today. The sun is actually going to set at exactly 4:55 p.m. here in the Holy City, which feels incredibly early, but it is the perfect backdrop for today's episode.
Herman Poppleberry, at your service. And you're right, Korn. Our housemate Daniel really hit on something that we have been grappling with ourselves, especially with these short winter days in Israel. He is asking about radically embracing a circadian lifestyle. Not just the surface level stuff like putting a blue light filter on your phone, but actually reorienting your entire existence around the natural cycle of the sun. It is about moving from being a passenger in your own biology to being the conductor.
It is a fascinating prompt because it touches on something so fundamental to being human that we have almost entirely forgotten in the last 150 years. We have spent millennia evolving under the cycle of the sun and the moon, and then suddenly we invented the light bulb and decided we were masters of time. Daniel mentioned he is becoming less of a night owl, which is a huge shift, especially with a 6-month-old baby in the house. He is looking for that next level of optimization.
It is a massive shift, and frankly, a necessary one if you look at the latest data. Just last week, on January 5th, a major study was published in the journal Neurology by researchers at UT Southwestern. They found that weaker and more fragmented circadian rhythms are significantly linked to an increased risk of dementia in older adults. They also found that people whose activity levels peaked later in the day, those night owls Daniel was trying to move away from, had a higher risk profile. So, this is not just about feeling refreshed, it is about long-term neurological preservation.
That is a sobering start, Herman, but it underscores why this is radical. Most people think circadian rhythm just means when you feel sleepy, but you often say it is more like a master conductor for a massive orchestra.
Exactly. Every single cell in your body has a clock. When we talk about the circadian rhythm, we are usually talking about the suprachiasmatic nucleus, or SCN, in the brain. But there are also peripheral clocks in your liver, your gut, and even your skin. When these clocks are out of sync, when your brain thinks it is noon because of your bright screen, but your gut thinks it is midnight because you haven't eaten, that is when systemic inflammation and metabolic dysfunction start to creep in.
So, how does the body actually keep time at a cellular level? I know there was a Nobel Prize involved a few years back.
Yes, in 2017, Jeffrey Hall, Michael Rosbash, and Michael Young won the Nobel Prize for discovering the molecular mechanisms. It is essentially a feedback loop. You have these genes called period and cryptochrome, or PER and CRY for short. During the night, the proteins from these genes build up in the cell. When they reach a certain level, they actually move back into the nucleus and shut off their own production. Then, during the day, those proteins degrade. It is a beautiful, self-sustaining 24-hour loop happening in trillions of cells simultaneously.
So when Daniel asks about a radical embrace, he's really asking how to stop throwing a wrench into that cellular machinery. Let us start with the most powerful signal, light. Daniel mentioned adaptive lighting in his home automation setup. How does light actually talk to these genes?
This is where the physics meets the biology. We have these specific cells in our eyes called intrinsically photosensitive retinal ganglion cells, or IPRGCs. These cells contain a photopigment called melanopsin. They do not care about the movie you are watching or the book you are reading. They only care about the presence of blue light, specifically around the 480 nanometer wavelength. When they see that light, they send a direct signal to the SCN to suppress melatonin and ramp up cortisol.
And the problem is that our modern world is a blue light blizzard. Even at 10 p.m., our LED lights are screaming high noon at our brains.
Precisely. A radical circadian lifestyle starts with reclaiming that signal. In a smart home like the one Daniel is building with Home Assistant, you can use the adaptive lighting integration. This is a powerful tool found in the Home Assistant Community Store, or HACS. It calculates the sun's exact position based on your latitude and longitude here in Jerusalem, and adjusts your lights in real time.
I've seen the dashboard for that in recent Home Assistant updates. It is much more intuitive now. It does not just turn lights on and off, it creates a seamless curve. At midday, the kitchen lights might be 5,000 Kelvin, that crisp, cool white. But by 4:55 p.m. today, when the sun goes down, those lights should already be transitioning toward 2,700 Kelvin.
And if you are going radical, 2,700 is still too high for the evening. By 7 p.m., you want to be down at 1800 Kelvin or even lower. We are talking candlelight levels, and intensity is just as important as color. Most people leave their lights at 100% brightness. In a radical setup, the brightness should drop to maybe 20 or 30% as soon as the sun sets. You want to mimic the fading light of dusk to allow the natural buildup of adenosine and the release of melatonin.
You mentioned recent Home Assistant updates. What specifically helps with this kind of circadian automation?
There are several key features. First, the dashboard makes it much easier to see the state of your entire circadian zone at a glance. But more importantly, you can trigger automations based on a light's brightness crossing a specific threshold. So, if a light is manually turned up too bright after sunset, Home Assistant can catch that and gently dim it back down over 60 seconds, nudging the user back into the rhythm.
That sounds like a polite way of the house telling you to calm down. But Herman, is it enough to just fix the lights? Daniel mentioned the idea of going to bed at 8 p.m. Is that an overcorrection?
It is actually closer to how we lived for thousands of years. Before the light bulb, we had what historians call segmented sleep, or second sleep. People would go to bed shortly after sunset, wake up for an hour or two in the middle of the night to reflect or pray, and then sleep again until dawn. While we do not necessarily need to go back to that, the goal of a radical lifestyle is to provide clear, unambiguous signals. One of the biggest mistakes is staying in a dimly lit office all day, and then a brightly lit living room all night. Scientists call this a weak Zeitgeber, or time giver.
So the contrast is gone. Your body is living in a perpetual twilight.
Exactly. So the first radical step is actually what you do in the morning. You need to get outside within 30 minutes of waking up. Even on a cloudy day in Jerusalem, the lux levels outside are around 10,000. Compare that to a well-lit office, which is only about 500 lux. That massive spike of light in the morning sets a biological timer. It tells your brain, the day has started, start the 14-hour countdown to melatonin production.
I love that. It is a push-pull system. Now, let us talk about the baby. Daniel has a 6-month-old. How does this radical shift affect a developing child?
It is actually the best thing he could do for the baby. Infants are still developing their circadian entrainment. By providing a rock-solid light and dark cycle, he is helping the baby's SCN stabilize. For the nursery, I would recommend using pure red LEDs for any middle-of-the-night changes. Red light has the longest wavelength and the least impact on melanopsin. If Daniel turns on even a dim, warm white light at 3 a.m., he is essentially hitting the reset button on his and the baby's internal clocks.
That is a great practical tip. Now, let us move to the other big pillar, food. We have talked about chrononutrition before, but how does it fit into a radical circadian lifestyle?
This is where it gets really interesting. Your insulin sensitivity is not a flat line, it follows a rhythmic curve. Research has shown that early time-restricted eating, where you consume all your calories in an 8-hour window that ends by mid-afternoon, can significantly improve metabolic health and sleep quality. Your body is simply better at processing carbohydrates in the morning than it is at night.
So, a radical approach would be eating a huge breakfast, a medium lunch, and almost nothing for dinner?
Precisely. If you eat a heavy meal at 8 p.m., your core body temperature rises to handle digestion. But for deep sleep, your core temperature needs to drop by about 2 or 3 degrees Fahrenheit. By eating late, you are forcing your body to choose between digestion and deep sleep. It usually chooses a poor version of both.
I can see the social friction here. If you are in Jerusalem and someone invites you for a late dinner, and you say, "Sorry, my insulin sensitivity is too low right now," you are definitely going to be the weird one.
Oh, you will be the weirdest person in the neighborhood. But this brings up the concept of social jet lag. This term was popularized to describe the mismatch between our biological clocks and our social obligations. Research has found that a significant portion of the population suffers from at least 1 hour of social jet lag every single day. By radically embracing the circadian rhythm, you are essentially opting out of that collective exhaustion. You are choosing biological excellence over social convenience.
It is a quiet rebellion. Now, let us get back to the tech for a second. If Daniel wants to go full radical with Home Assistant, what are the advanced moves? We have talked about bulbs, but what about the rest of the house?
The next level is thermal and mechanical automation. First, smart shades. If you can automate your blinds to open at the exact moment of sunrise, 6:40 a.m. tomorrow, you're using the sun as a natural alarm clock. The light hitting your eyelids, even when closed, triggers a gradual transition out of REM sleep. Second, the thermostat. You should program a circadian temperature ramp. Start dropping the house temperature at sunset, aiming for 65 degrees Fahrenheit by 9 p.m. Then, have it start rising an hour before you want to wake up. That rise in temperature is a key signal for the body to produce cortisol.
It sounds like the house becomes a living, breathing extension of the environment. But what about the screen problem? Daniel is a tech enthusiast. How do you handle the urge to check Home Assistant on a bright OLED screen at 9 p.m.?
That is the hardest part of the radical shift. I would suggest Daniel uses E-Ink tablets or displays for his evening dashboards. E-Ink doesn't emit light directly into the eye. It reflects ambient light, much like a book. Or, better yet, use voice assistants or physical Zigbee buttons to control the house at night. In my setup, I have a dedicated sleep modes button next to the bed. When pressed, it doesn't just turn off the lights, it sets a manual overrides in the adaptive lighting integration, so that if I do have to turn a light on in the night, it defaults to 1% brightness and pure red.
That manual control feature is crucial. I have noticed that sometimes, these automations can feel like they are fighting you if you actually need to see something.
Exactly. The adaptive lighting integration has a takeover controls feature. If you manually adjust a bulb, the automation pauses for that specific light until you turn it off again. This prevents the haunted house effect, where you try to brighten a light and the system dims it back down immediately. It is about harmony, not digital tyranny.
Let us zoom out for a moment. We have talked about the how, but I want to touch on the whys again. We mentioned the dementia study. But what about the day-to-day psychological impact? Does this make you a more boring person, or a more present one?
I would argue it makes you infinitely more present. When you stop fighting the sun, you stop fighting yourself. There is a profound psychological peace that comes with seasonal living. In the winter, you accept that you have less energy and need more sleep. In the summer, you lean into the long days. We have built a world that demands 100% productivity 365 days a year, regardless of the light outside. That is a recipe for burnout. Radically embracing the circadian rhythm is an act of self-preservation against a world that never sleeps.
It is like a biological anchor in a digital storm. I am thinking about the long-term implications for society. If we all lived this way, our healthcare systems would look completely different. We are seeing more and more links between circadian disruption and everything from breast cancer to type 2 diabetes.
Absolutely. The World Health Organization has even classified night shift work as a probable carcinogen. That should tell you everything you need to know. We are not designed to be 24-hour creatures. Daniel's shift from a 1 a.m. bedtime to a 10 p.m. bedtime is already a massive win. If he can push that to 9 p.m. in the winter and align his meals with the sun, he is essentially giving himself a biological upgrade that no supplement or biohack can match.
So, let us give Daniel a final checklist for his radical circadian roadmap. What are the 5 steps?
Step 1, morning light. Get outside for 15 minutes before 7 a.m. Step 2, chrononutrition. Stop eating by 4 or 5 p.m., especially in the winter. Step 3, adaptive lighting. Install the HACS integration and set your evening floor to 1800 Kelvin and 10% brightness. Step 4, thermal signaling. Drop the bedroom temperature to 65 degrees at night. And step 5, the digital sunset. No blue light emitting screens after 8 p.m. Use e-ink or physical books instead.
That last one is the real test of character. But I suppose if you are in bed by 8:30, you do not have much time to scroll anyway. It is funny, we think of this as a high-tech challenge, but the technology is just a bridge back to how we are supposed to live.
It is the ultimate irony. We are using thousands of dollars of smart home gear to replicate the experience of living in a tent. But in 2026, that is what it takes to be healthy. The environment we have built is so toxic to our biology that we have to build a digital biosphere inside our homes just to survive it.
Well, I think we have given Daniel and our listeners plenty to chew on. This is an upcoming episode of My Weird Prompts, and it might be one of the most important ones we have done. It is not just a weird prompt, it is a blueprint for a different kind of life.
I agree. And for anyone listening, do not feel like you have to do it all at once. Start with the morning sun. That is the anchor. Once that is in place, the rest of the pieces tend to fall into line much more easily.
Absolutely. And if you have tried any of these radical shifts, or if you have your own home assistant configurations for circadian living, we want to hear about them. You can reach us through the contact form at myweirdprompts.com.
Yes, please send us your YAML code or your success stories. And if you enjoyed this deep dive, please leave us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It really helps the show grow and helps other people find these weird, but hopefully useful, discussions.
We will be back next week with another prompt from Daniel. Hopefully, it is something that allows me to stay up past 9 p.m., but after this talk, I am not so sure I want to.
I think I am going to go check my Lux levels right now. Until next time, stay curious.
And stay in rhythm. Goodbye for now.
Bye, everyone.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.